Thank you so much, Brother Justin, for that reading in regards to having Jesus and, you know, operating in faith. And that is the gist of our message today, ladies and gentlemen. I am excited. I want to go ahead. Let's see. And just want to go ahead and just give God praise for what he has been doing, what he has been sharing. I want to welcome those who are listening again online. And just want to remind you that there will be a recording uploaded to the website later for those who would like to listen again. You know, it's an interesting time in which we are living. We're hearing a lot with regards to what the enemy is doing. And, you know, people are saying, well, you know, this is going to happen and they're going to do this. They're going to take over this, going to take over that. And not many seem to be talking about what God is doing. Jesus is in control, ladies and gentlemen. And so, I want to go ahead and just encourage everybody to stay tuned to this message. Just listen keenly, because if you get hold of this, ladies and gentlemen, life will be a lot easier for you. I say, if the people get hold of this message, life would be a lot easier for them. Because Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. What kind of life is he talking about? Party life? Family life? What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about Zoe. He's talking about the life that comes from God, that leads to eternal life, which is what we were hearing a while ago. And so he came that we may have access. This abundant life, ladies and gentlemen, consists of many precious promises. Along the way, we get precious promises. We heard in the opening prayer that with this course of life, this path of life that we're taking, we're journeying. Well, I'm saying to you, there are precious promises available along that way as we venture on it. It is the nature of God to fill these promises, because he has given us these promises of his own free will. He gave us these promises. He gave us the promise of eternal life. It's there available. He also gave us the promise of him being our Lord, our shepherd, Roi. He also gave us the promise of provision. We're not left by ourselves. He'll help us. He'll provide for us. Jireh. And he is there also promising when things go wrong with our body to heal us. He's Jehovah Rapha. And of course, he is the one that's going to give us victory over the enemy that is so willing to try to attack us. He's our banner, Jehovah Nissi. And in addition to that, he is our peace, because a lot of folks don't have peace. But you can have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, because I keep saying, man, I don't understand all what is happening around you, and you are still at peace, because it comes from God. And the other one was Jehovah Shammah. I am going to be there with you. Remember what he said? I'll never leave you or forsake you. You know, it's amazing, because that's one of the ones that people tend to forget so easily. They say, be with me, Lord, be with me, Lord. And he told you before, I am not going to leave you or forsake you. And so here it is. You begin to see that that is the case. All right, now we're going to push forward a little further, ladies and gentlemen, because as I said before, it is the nature of God to fulfill the promises when faith is applied. Now we read that the just shall live by faith. Who are the just? The ones who are justified. That's us. How are we going to live? By faith. Now one may say faith is the currency of the kingdom. We read that Jesus went about teaching and preaching and healing all manner of diseases. That's what he was doing. And of course, that same Jesus went about, you know, healing anyone in the areas where faith is applied. He was, delivering all those who were oppressed by the devil. So you and I then can seek can see provision, we can see peace, peace, deliverance, and so on. All of these things we can see. I just want us to understand that that is how God operates. He has made all these available, and he is so serious about it that he gives himself that name. Now, a lot of people don't realize. Let me tell you something. One of the ways you run away demon spirits from around you, folks, get hold of this. If you don't get hold of anything else, get hold of this, because it's really easy. It's just like picking up money off the street. It's like manna. It's still enough Israel didn't have to go too far. Just go inside, pick it up. When you learn to use the name of Jesus, you can drive away any spirit. I've been in a situation where they said, don't use that name, don't use that name. Of course, we still use it because we want the demon to come out, and it sure did. Yeah, they did shout back, don't use that name. I'm saying to you, there's a lot that is available to us, and we're going to explore this morning about how to receive by faith. How to receive by faith. Let me see, I'm looking for a scripture that escapes my mind right this minute. Up meanwhile, because I want to go ahead and just keep pumping into my mind, and I just want to make sure that I go ahead and share that information. Okay, we're going to receive by faith, and that is the gist of it. I've dealt with some folks who, I mean, really, things were really tough with them. I mean, really tough. I mean, extremely tough. But I told them, I said, listen to me. Just believe what I'm sharing with you. Just go ahead and hold on to what God has promised, and He will bless you. Well, I begin to see now, it's happening for them. It's happening over and over. For there is, let me see, for you played it. Yeah, man. Let's see. Let's go ahead and look at something else as we, because our faith, I want us to understand, begins with the Word of God. Our faith ends with the Word of God. Our faith begins and ends with the promises that are in the Word of God. How do we know what they are? We're going to have to study the Bible, read it, listen to the audio, somebody tell us about it. Somewhere along the line, we're going to have to hear the news. We'll read it, discover it for ourselves. But you cannot go beyond the Bible, so therefore, our faith begins with it and it ends with it. I want us to get that clear in our spirit. So, in order to receive from the Lord, there are three things. I kind of put a side point, and I'll show you as I go and explain. The first one is that we must hear the promise. The second thing, we must believe that promise. A lot of people hear the promise. And a lot of people hear what we're saying. A lot of folks who used to listen to us, they've gone about their business, and they wonder, well, why it doesn't work. You must hear the promise. You must believe the promise. And as you believe it so much, you're going to do something or act on what you believe. Are you with me? And then the third thing will happen now is that God fulfills the promise wherever faith is applied. He will never fail to do it. You're like next to a lake, and there is a lot of water. It's filled almost to the, the banks. And if somebody should bore a hole into the bank, that water is going to gush out. All you have to do is bore a hole and just gush out, starts flowing, just like a dam. I am saying to you, when we learn to follow God's word, and when we fulfill His promises, His promises, they're just going to just gush out when He fill them, just like that, towards us. And it is imperative that we understand that he's not trying to hold anything back and try to say, well, you know, I don't know what y'all going to do. I don't know. No, he's not holding back nothing. He's not trying to say how tough you are. And there's no such thing in the scriptures. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Well, I believe the scriptures. So I'm telling you, now, those are the three main things that you need to do in order to receive from the Lord. All right, let me see. I'm going to search this scripture. Just keep bothering me. James chapter 2, verse 19. Let's look at this. He says, you believe there is one God? Notice this now. You're doing well. You believe there is one God? He says, you're doing well. The devils also believe and tremble. A lot of people say, well, I believe. Believing alone is not good enough. You're going to have to act on what you believe. The demons also, they believe. That's what it says. Read it in your version. James chapter 2, verse 19. You believe there is one God? You're doing well. The demons also believe and tremble.
My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to
James.
Sorry. So it says, you believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder.
That's right. So the point here is that we're going to have to go beyond the belief. That's why I was saying there has to be an accompanying action. So here it is now, ladies and gentlemen. You hear or learning of the promises, and again, how is this done? By studying the Bible, by listening to messages like this and many more, by listening to audio tapes, things of that nature and so on, practicing it. That's how you're going to get this in your spirit. Think about this for a minute. Elijah, he was traveling on chariots. You remember he took a chariot ride? Where did he get all that understanding so that he could have faith to receive like that? I don't think sometimes we realize the magnitude of what we can receive when we spend time with God. But look at, that's what he did. Look at Elisha, his prodigy. He calls the axe, the one you just chopped on the tree, axe. Mm-hmm. He calls it to float in the water. Where did he get all that faith? And that was before the days of cell phones and computers and so on. So what I am saying is that you're going to hear about these promises. You're going to practice believing them. Practice believing. All right? Okay, let's take it a step further. Now, in order to receive from the Lord, you not only have to hear, but you're going to have to make some decision. You have to move in the direction. You can believe all you want, but if you don't do nothing, nothing's going to get done. So we must water the word, for example. What does that mean? Well, you look up all the scriptures that are relevant to your situation. You hear a word from the Lord. Well, that word needs to be nurtured. It needs to be watered. And so you're going to get supporting scriptures to back you up, and you're going to focus on these, memorize them if you have to, until it comes into your spirit and materialize. Up in your brain, so to speak, I don't know how else to describe it, but in your spirit man or in your heart, you're going to have to sow the word. You sow it, because whatever you reap, you sow, you're going to reap. You want to reap these things, but you're going to have to sow. Brother Moses is talking about planting a garden over in Kenya. He's going to plant maize, and he said some beans and something else. And I'm saying to you, he had mentioned sweet potatoes. I tell you something, after 7 months taking care of those bees, if he go out there and decide he's going to try to reap sweet potatoes, people are going to think he's cuckoo, he's loco. He's gone off the deep end. Because you reap what you sow. We're going to sow the word of God in our spirit so that we now can develop the spirit man so that we can reap the benefits of whatever the word promises. That's what I mean when I say water the word. We're going to fill our minds up with scriptures and music supporting the promises. In the early days of the people trying to learn about God and to keep the word of God, how do you think they memorize all those chapters? They put it to music. They sing it along. In the early days in Italy, if a mom come trying to wake up her child to go to school, she wouldn't just say, "Hey, get up, it's time." You know, it's the American way. You turn on the light and you just, you know, open the windows if it's summertime and so on. They tell them, "Get up," and you tell them, "Go ahead, get ready, it's time." But she used to do it different, the Italian way. She started to sing a little opera. "Baby, you know it's time for you to get," and she put it to song. She sang it a pleasant song. And they would do it stuff like that. By the way, some parts of southwestern China, they do things like that also. But my point was that they use music to carry whatever information they wanted to convey. And of course, again, they use music so that you can store, or I should say, memorize the scriptures. Now, something else you need to do then along that line, because I'm just listing some, actions that you can apply in your pursuit of whatever it is God has promised you. Water the word, that's one I just mentioned. Fill your minds with the scripture, that's two. A third one is to give thanks the moment prayer is made. You don't wait another moment, you give thanks right then because you believe God is already, his word is good, so you can start thanking him right then. That's what Apostle Paul did, Romans chapter 4. He did not wait for to see the manifestation, but he just started to give God thanks right then. Chapter 4 and verse 18. And so you keep praising the Lord and step out in faith. In other words, you go ahead, do the other things that you need to do. Another thing that you could do as an accompanying action is to make your declaration of faith. You remember that lady who was at an issue of blood? How long? 12 years. What did she do? She said in her heart. We weren't there. Matthew tells us recorded. She said in her heart, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'm going to be made whole." Well, guess what? She was prepared now to go touch the hem of his garment. And guess what happened? There was a lot of people in that house. Well, she had to elbow her way past them to go touch Jesus. And she did. And what did Jesus say? "Your faith have made you well." That's what he said, verse 22. But what I am trying to convey to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that she made a declaration. She said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment." What did his disciples say to him when he asked, "Who touched me?" They said, "You're asking who touched you? And you see all these people here?" So I am saying to you now, you can make the declaration. What else can you do, you know, as an accompanying action? Meaning that showing that you mean business. You speak of the wonders of the Lord. Talk about how God has blessed you and how he has blessed other people before, and he's going to bless you again. You talk about what he has done. You spread the word, so to speak. Take it a step further. Remind the Lord of his promises. What did he say? "Remind me of what I say to you." So I was in a tough situation some years ago. And I said, "Lord, you promised this. Now this was your word. As a matter of fact, when I learned this principle, I got so excited about it. I was at the job when I first, you know, they had taken over and rearranged the company. They took away most of my job, most of my work. Well, what did I do? I sit down and I read my Bible every day, drink my hot chocolate, and there was constantly reading the Bible. And I remember sometimes I look at the scripture and I say, Lord, look at this. You promised this. You promised this. You promised this. When are you going to fill this thing? And I talked to him like that. And of course, nobody else was around, so I could talk like that. You know, you don't want to talk like that up in front of other people. No, they will think you have lost it, you know. But you get the idea. So my point here again, ladies and gentlemen, is that you're going to remind the Lord of his promises. And of course, he's going to fulfill them, because he said, remind me. You know, you can sing, as we were singing earlier, about the glory of the Lord. Talk about his wonders, but you can sing about it also. Singing does something to you. You remember, in fact, turn to 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 15. 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 15. Because I want us to begin to see what, you know, because what I'm saying is that, ladies and gentlemen, is that there's so much that God has promised the church. We can never exhaust this. And a lot of folks are not, they're missing out. Can you go ahead, please?
But now bring me a harpist. While the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha.
All right, there you go. Now, what happened here? He was in a position where he needed supernatural direction and revelation. The people come to him, they want to hear from the Lord. He didn't really like one of the kings that was there, but he'd say, since the other king from Judah was there, all right, I'm going to go ahead and ask the Lord. So he said, bring me a harp. And you know, nowadays we would say keyboard or guitar or stuff like that. Or you might just sing a song. Sometimes I don't have a keyboard where I am. I just start to sing. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for being so good to me, for opening my mind to your truth, for always being there for me, Lord. I give you praise. I bless your name. Now, Father, show me hidden things in your word. Give me an opportunity to be able to share your word with so-and-so and help them, Father, to grasp what I'm trying to share in Jesus' name. And you can say it quickly. You don't have to be that long. Just right there. I cannot tell you the amount of times I've used this against people who are opposed to me, and immediately they turn around and say, you know something, don't bother about it. And they just change their mind, just like that. I give God praise. I say, just praise the Lord. They don't know all what I'm thinking, but I know, because I see what God has just done. I lost count. Yeah, I did. Lost count of the amount of time that he has done. What else can you do in order to show that you, you know, you're going to act on your belief? You rehearse the examples of the wonders of the Lord. Talk about how he sent manna for the children of Israel. How he just go ahead and make a river in the middle of the desert. How he feed everybody. It is not that they didn't have enough animals. You know, they had animals. But they recognize if we kill these animals and eat them in the desert, we're not going to have none by the time we reach the promised land. So it was a matter of economics on their part. And so they said, you know, what are we going to do, Moses? The Lord sent quail, and they were eating every day quail. Now they were a contentious bunch, but the point was that he provided. And so when I'm talking about the wonders that he has done, what about the lady who was going to get her sons possessed, or since her taken into bondage, and she go to Elisha, and he says, you know, your servant, when he was alive, he served you faithfully. These people come now, going to take, the creditors are going to take my two sons. And he said, what do you have? And she said, just some oil. He said, all right, good. Borrow as much vessels as you can. Not a few, but get as much as you can. And when you go, you get it, go into your house, close the door, and pour the oil from this container that you have to those new ones. Boy, they fill up. They stopped till they went till there was no more vessel. Notice now, she stopped it. She ran out to place the story. God, don't waste it. So what happened? Well, She goes to the man of God. And he says, sell it. Sell the oil. You pay off your debt. And then you and your son live off the rest. You and your sons, right? Live off the rest. Something else you might need to do, because sometimes things are a little tougher than normal. you're going to be tested, and so you got to push, seek, and knock. And I'm saying to you, you're not going to stop until you get a manifestation. Let's say you were pushing. What are the things that you might want? Okay, you need healing. Do not stop. Well, you know, I remember this gentleman some years ago telling me, well, you win some, you lose some. You won't find nothing like that in the Bible. You press through. You press through until it manifests. That's it. You press through until it manifests. You don't give up. So I'm saying, and these are just some of the things I've just give you examples of what you can do as an accompanying belief, in other words, to action to show that you really believe. So what did I say? You're not to receive from the Lord. You're going to have to hear the promise or know about the promise somehow. The lady with the issue of blood, she wasn't there before. She heard about it from somebody else somewhere. All you have to do is go touch that man. You touch him. You know, some everybody who touch him get healed. Everybody touch him get healed. What did she do? She make up her mind. I'm going to touch him. And she did. And he did. And then God get the glory out of it. Get the idea? Okay. Let's take it a step further. All right? Now, there are times when you go beyond the ordinary. I want us to understand this now. For you and I, those who, when you go initially, and what I've observed, so let me go ahead and explain this, because a lot of folks miss this. There are seven ways to receive healing from God. The first one, or at least the most common one, is to, you know, be anointed with oil from the elder. Folks are caught, and that is common. Everybody know about that. But you know, work most of the time, because after you get the first healing like that, God expects you now to do something. And a lot of folks don't understand that. So I'm taking the time to make sure that you all understand. Everybody that is associated with this ministry, I constantly pray that God would heal you. I want you to live a healthy life. We were singing earlier, living on the shore. That's what we want to do. We want to live that life like we're really living on the shore. And so what I am saying to you now is that, you know, these are the promises are there. So we're going to hold on to the promise until the manifestation come. And in Hebrews chapter 10, I want us to point something out. The stubborn kind, you don't want to give up. Hebrews chapter 10 explains something about this kind. What did I say earlier? Some of the situations are relatively easy. But once you start to walk with the Lord, it's going to get more difficult. Are you with me? What about, Jesus went about, Nazareth, and he found favor with God and man. That's how things were with him. But the moment he started ministering, no one tried to drive out demons. People got upset with him. The same Jesus, this is God now, they're getting upset with him. What do you think they're going to do with you? They're going to get upset with you just the same way. He's driving out demons by the Prince of Beelzebub, and they have all kind of excuses and stuff like that. But you get the idea. So I'm saying to you, you're going to run into difficulties. So in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and verse 34 to 36, there's some information I want to share with you. Verse 34 says, For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoil of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Verse 36-35. Cast not away. As a result, then, he's teaching you a principle. Do not cast away. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Don't give up on it, then. Don't abandon it. Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Do not give up. Too many people start out believing God. Yes, I know he can heal me. And they just stop there. No. He said, I'm going to heal you. And so you need to keep believing that he's going to do it. It is possible. We all know it is possible. Everybody, even the demons know that. But they don't act on what they know. That's why they're demons. We are going to act on what we know. We are learning to be children of the Most High God, and we're going to serve Him. So we're going to put, you know, we're not going to cast away our confidence. For you have need of patience, verse 36 says, that after you have done the will of God, we have done what God says, you have patience then as a result, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Whatever it is He promised you, you're going to receive after you have done the will of God, if you keep holding on to the promise. Now, folks, there are a lot of stuff that we can ask the Lord for. A lot of promises He has made. A whole lot. The Bible is filled with it. Spend some time and search the scriptures. If you're one of those persons who want to prove these things, search the scriptures to see where He made a promise that He hasn't fulfilled yet. And you look to see when it's supposed to be fulfilled. And yes, you're going to keep on praising Him from that point on, because He's going to do it. Search the scripture. I'm telling you, I spend days of sitting down. I get up and eat my breakfast, take my shower and so on, you know, and then I go ahead and get into the scriptures. Stop to praise and worship and get back into the scriptures again, and I'm looking at promises that He has made. Promises that He has made. In fact, let's just illustrate that real quick. We're going to come back to this in just a minute. But let's just illustrate that in just a quick. Let's go to Psalm number 1. I want to show you what I'm talking about. I want us to begin to understand this more clearly, ladies and gentlemen, because God has blessed us immensely with this abundance knowledge. You know, there's a time when I used to be concerned about provision. It don't cross my mind anymore. I don't think about it no more. It's just there. Verse 1 said, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, this is what I'm saying. You have to watch your anointing. Be wise. It's not that you're arrogant and you just think you're better than other people, but you can't just put yourself anywhere. You will lose little by little. Other people are losing and don't realize it. This world, all the currencies are sinking and the people just don't see it because they don't understand. It's going to be too late when they find out. So I'm saying now, blessed is that man that does these things. Verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. So He just told you in verse 1, don't do those things. But what else are you going to do in the meanwhile? Okay, you're not going to sit around and do nothing. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that same law, He's going to meditate on it day and night. What does He mean that by that? That means you're going to keep thinking about it day and night. What do you want from God? What do you want? Do you need more provision? Are you willing to go out there and push the frontier of darkness? You may need more provision. That's Jehovah Jireh. Start praying about it. You may need more. I got a call this week. I was sitting over here in my chair, and Pastor Moses called and he said, can you explain this message you sent to us? And I said, I didn't send you any. He said, yes, you did. And all of us listened to it. They had some of the ministers there. They wanted to talk. He said, we listened to it and it was very good, but we want some more explanation. So I said, how did I send it to you? And he said, by email. And I went and checked my email. When I send, for those of you who get a copy of the weekly teaching by email, I also send an audio copy along with it. I normally don't do that for the folks in Africa. But anyway, his email mistakenly popped up and I sent it to him. And so they were so excited to listen. So I said to him, all right, this was part 2. You need some background information in order to grasp this, so you need to listen to part 1. So I told him, I'll send you part 1, the audio, and I did. I sent him part 1, the audio. So he listened to it. I said, call me back if you have any questions. They didn't call back. But my point is that they were all excited about this. And so what I am saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, and here it is now, they're getting that information and applying it. Well, look at this, what is going on here. His delight is in the law of the Lord, the man who's going to be blessed. And in his law, and in that law, he meditates day and night. And verse 3 says, as a result then, you're going to see manifestation now. This is God responding to what you have done. Verse 3. He shall be like a tree that is planted next or adjacent to, right beside the river. What is in the river? Usually water. He shall be like a tree that's planted right next to the water rivers. And he's, as a result, then he's going to bring forth his fruit at the right time in its season. All right? And he bring forth his fruit in its season. His leaves, they won't dry up because there's no water, there's a drought. No, he's right next to the river. His leaves shall not wither, whatsoever he does shall prosper. He's telling you, these are some of the things that is going to follow you. He's made you these promises. But you have to keep your end of the bargain. Look at what he says in verse 1. Don't do those things. Look at what he says in verse 2. Do those things. And the end result is that you're going to prosper. Now compare that to those people who are not accepting this type of teaching. Verse 4 says, the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Every time you see them, they always have a new plan. It never work out. Sometimes the devil just come and just outright destroy it. Other times he just let them work for nothing. They act foolishly. Nothing come of it. They're not following God's way. That's the ungodly way. But the godly people, they're going to prosper. The godly people are going to prosper. So I just show you how it works right there. And there are many, many more. We're going to go ahead and highlight some stuff as we go along. But I just thought I'd go ahead and point this out. All right? Now, so I am saying to you, we hold on to the promise until the manifestation comes. Faith begins and ends with the promises of God. Hearing or learning of promises of God. How can this be done? Well, you're going to study the word. Number three, action is essential. You're going to have a corresponding action. And then you're going to find out the difficult situations, you're going to hold on to the promises of the Lord. All right? Look at the book of Jonah, chapter 2 and verse 8. This is a challenging one that people mess up on. So I want you to look at this thing. You know, one of the things I promised the Lord years ago is if I ever get a chance to teach, I'm going to attack the difficult situations. People, you know, the usual teachers do the easy one and they say, well, you try this. And you're cracking your brain all night. Can't figure it out. I said, no, I'm going to do it the opposite way. I'm going to teach the principle and then crack some of the difficult ones so that people can see how it can be done. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 8. All right, do you have it there, Mr. Morton? Do you have yours? Chapter 2 and verse 8.
It says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs.
All right. So those who hold on to things that doesn't promise. Let's look at the King James Version. Chapter 2, verse 8 says, they that observe lying vanities. What does he mean by that? He's describing a situation where you see something manifest. Here it is, you go and you ask God to heal you, and you're still feeling pain in your side. Now he says all his promises are yes and amen. That's 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. So you prayed and you feel pain in your side. Now, you can start to argue and say, well, I didn't get healed because there's still pain. Or you can tell everybody it doesn't work or it's a waste of time. Or you could rebuke that pain and command the pain to go because God's word is right. Because that pain is behaving contrary to what the word of God says. I want us to understand it now. You feel a pain, you pray and ask God to take away the pain. It is real. But it doesn't really belong there anymore because it's supposed to go. Because everything must submit to the word of God, including that pain. So you know you're going to have to fight this battle to get rid of it completely, and you're going to learn the principle. And so that's what I'm trying to explain now. So what do? You look at that pain now as something that is out of place. It doesn't belong there. You know, sometimes you might get a cut and somebody said, let me clean out the wound. There, if they don't move it, it's going to heal up with all that junk and stuff like inside there that shouldn't be there. So you're cleaning it out, but you're still feeling pain while they're doing that. Now, you can pray, because I've done that, by the way, and ask God to take away the pain, and he did. And the nurse said, you don't feel that? I said, no. I said, what about that? You don't feel that? And I said, no. He got well by the next day. I still never did feel nothing. I asked the Lord to take it away. You have to practice these things, folks. Practice, okay? So here it is now. He says, they that observe lying vanities. Now, if you keep paying attention to this thing and say, well, the word didn't work because, you know, I prayed and I still feel pain. And you're there talking like the devil is so powerful that he's going to make sure that pain stay, as opposed to God who is taking it away from you. Then you're observing not just a vanity but a lie, because that lie is contrary to the word of God, because you did pray for real, didn't you? So he coined that expression, lying vanity. Those who pay attention to that or observe that, if they pay attention to that, then they are forsaking the deliverance that's supposed to come by it. As it says here, they forsake their own mercy. The mercy is the deliverance they're supposed to receive. And therefore say they are forsaking this. That was not their goal originally, but they fall victim because they're weak. They're not paying attention. They're not building up their faith man, the inner man. And as a result, then, things don't manifest. A lot of people, that's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't get manifestation when we pray. I go places and I have to teach. I remember one lady, I spoke to her for 1 hour and 15 minutes, nonstop, explaining to her that God wants her to be healed and be delivered. And the reason I stopped it was because she shouted out and said, I want to be healed. And I said, all right, fine, good. We're going to pray in 15 more minutes. Just give me some more time. And I prayed. I talked to her for 15 more minutes. After I prayed, I asked her mom to give her something to eat. And her mom said she can't eat anything. She's sick. And I said, no, I just prayed for her. She's no longer sick. She's healed now. Go get her something to eat. And she came back with some applesauce. I was not amused. I said, I was talking about real food, like some dumplings and some yams and meat and things like that. She said, she can't. I said, go get it. She'll eat it. She said, well, I have to cook it. I said, all right, fine. I'm going to pray over it one more time. You go cook and give it to her, and she will eat. 10 days later, that lady, I called. She was so happy. She was telling me she eating everything. She was eating. I mean, she said, from that day on, she was eating all just like that. So I am saying this to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that those who observe lying vanities are going to end up forsaking their own mercy. All right? And that is one of the things that you cannot afford to do, because you're going to fight this battle continually. Hebrews chapter 6. It's a difficult time now. Remember now, the difficult kind. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Let's go and touch on it. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. I want us to understand how it works. Hebrews chapter 6, and verse 12. You're not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience. You're not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You're going to recognize now through faith and what? Patience. That means you're not to see it right then. But he said it's there, it's there. So you go ahead. When you get your house wired up initially, and the power company people come and they connect these wires. Do you see any electricity come through the wire? No. It's connected. But when you turn the switch on, there is light if you had a bulb, or if you had a high end plugged up, you get that stuff. So what I am trying to convey to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that so anyway, what happened is that through faith and patience, you're gonna start to receive the things of God. It means you cannot waver, because those who waver are like the wave of the sea. They're double minded. God said it, they won't get anything from Him. You have to hold fast to it, steadfast to believe what He says. All right. And so he says in verse 12 again, be not slothful, but be followers of them. Follow their example. Be followers of those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. Through faith and patience, we're going to inherit all the promises. I get excited about these things because there are some things that He promised me sometimes. There are things that you might be looking for some 4 or 5 years down the road, but eventually, guess what? It comes to pass. Some of these things might take time. But the point is that they're going to be delivered. I don't know if you want a key. But anyway, that's the deal. All right, now what else do you need to do or to receive from the Lord? I want us to understand, folks, the biggest thing the enemy have going for him is his ability to deceive. He can provide stumbling block after stumbling block after stumbling block to prevent people from receiving. If you are not smart enough to this, you're going to end up missing out. So, I am saying to you, here are some examples that I want you to share with you. They're very simple, but you don't look at it like from that perspective. But that will be the end result. I've seen a lot of people been reduced to nothing simply because they could not recognize these subtle tricks of the devil. For example, do not listen to the naysayers. When we started out in Africa, you know how many people try to tell us it wouldn't work? I mean, I've lost count. They make all kind of excuse to try to show me why it wouldn't work. Did I listen to them? No. I just tell them, I'm sorry, I don't want to share your viewpoint. Can you please, stop talking like that? And if they won't, I'll leave their presence or I'd ask them to go away. But that was my viewpoint. Secondly, tell the devil of the promises of God. You know, he has a way of, he can talk to you. You hear that voice in your head trying to tell you, it's a waste of time praying. He ain't going to do right. They never do right. They never do right. You have some people, they're so... They have so much faith that God cannot fulfill what He promises. It's as if they believe the devil. Well, I'm telling you now, I talked back to the devil when I was sick. And I told him, I said, away from me. Because my God says He's my healer. He has already healed me. And my manifestation is on its way right now. You're wasting your time. Well, as a matter of fact, at that time when I said that, I was feeling pain. When it left, I don't know. I was just there leaning back, singing praise to the Lord, and it went away. Got up and I realized, wait a minute, nothing. All of it that God promised, manifest, and it just comes through. So I'm saying to you now, he can use this problem. He fooled a lot of people with that. All these people are talking about climate change and global warming. That's part of what they're doing. What else do we do? We shun all manner of sin or works of the flesh. You're not going to drive out demons when you are connected to the sinful nature. Avoid the Bible. Paul says, the sin that so easily beset us. Let me look for that scripture real quick. The sin that so easily beset us. Because you don't want to get involved with that. He knows your weak point. And so you want to make sure. That's it. Oh. Thought he said something. But the sin that so the sin. So wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily cling on to us, beset us. You know, I'm telling you folks, because you know, you have some folks. What did that lady try to convince my wife? You think by now people, careful how I speak, but folks always want you to join in with them. And she was trying to say, well, you know, let us all just suffer together. We're talking about suffering COVID. Yeah, go ahead, take this job, you know, so we can, if we die, we die together, you know. they actually talk like that. And I'm saying, what kind of mindset is this? The sin. No, you don't want everybody, look, you hang around people like that. I guarantee you that it's going to be, after a while, you're going to be just as weak as them and you won't even realize it. Shun all manner of sin. Confess where you are wrong and repent. One of the reasons why so many people do not want to accept that it is the will of God to heal is because they misunderstand 2 Corinthians chapter 12 about Paul's thorn in the flesh. And so they hold on to this misunderstanding because other people encourage them to think along that line, not realizing that's not what he's saying. They have the very opposite of what Paul was saying. So what I am saying to you is, you know, recognize when you're wrong so you don't hold on to wrong things. What else do we need to do, ladies and gentlemen? Well, there's a lot more, but I just want to go ahead and share some things with you quickly. We have some scriptures that, and you want to fill your mind with scriptures. So we're going to touch on a few scriptures. That, by the way, I want to touch on, that was just page one of our four-page notes that I have on this topic. In Mark chapter 4, I'd like for us to touch on it, please, and look at it with our own eyes. Why? Because when you see these things with your own eyes, it does something to your mind. And I want us to make sure that we, Matthew chapter 4, rather. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. When you see it with your own eyes, then it makes a difference. And Jesus went about all Galilee. He went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now listen to what is happening. Jesus went about Galilee. How many Christians were there at that time? There were no Christians. Jesus hadn't even gone to the cross. And yet he's healing people. He is willing to do the same thing now through the church if the people don't get hold of it. But that's a difficult thing for some because they've believed a lie and they won't change it. They don't upgrade it. But Jesus went about preaching and teaching and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. That's what he did then. What do you think he's doing today? Same thing he's doing today. Oh yes, he won't do it to a lot of people because they won't pay attention to him. They don't believe it. But for those who believe, he will still do it through them. I saw it when I went to Africa. I never seen those people before. But he responded and he healed quite a few. And I'm telling you, he will do it again through us. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. More information to help build your faith. Why? Because if God does it for them, he will do it for you. He's no respecter of person. That's what I want you to see. So I'm saying to you, you can receive from the Lord also. Don't make excuse or let people try to con you into thinking that it won't work. It will. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. And they went unto Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue, and he was teaching them. What did he teach them? Teach them about the kingdom of God. Verse 22 said, they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority. In other words, he knows what he is doing. He's not guessing. He speaks confidently because he's convinced that his heavenly Father is going to respond when he prays. And guess what happened? God responded when he prayed. I want to go ahead and touch on another scripture. I have so many here. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Go ahead and read that in your version for me, please. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 talks about what Jesus was doing and pretty much really what you and I are supposed to do. I'm going to raise concern, so I want us to go ahead. Acts chapter 2, verse 38.
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him.
God was with him. He went about healing people. That's what he was doing. Read that verse again for me, please.
I'm going to start with 37. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him.
All right, thank you, sir. And so what is point is this, that God, when he went around just healing all who were oppressed of the enemy, and King James says, and the point here I'm trying to make was that he never said, well, you know, it is not the will of God to heal the people. I have a problem with that lack of understanding. And rather than people update their viewpoint, they try to hold on to show you why it is not the will of God. Consequently, a lot of people get sick and they stay sick in the church. This is one of the reasons why that is happening. I want to touch on one more scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. There's a lot more, folks, and I'm going to have to continue this at another time, but I want us to understand that we need to learn the fundamentals about how to receive from the Lord. We all can receive from the Lord if we act wisely. And I'm saying to you, you know, God has given us some precious promises, and so we then just need to believe the promises and God will fulfill them. Second Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 tells us that for all the promises of God, not just some of them, all of the promises of God, to him they're yes, and in him they're amen. What does that mean? He's in agreement. He said yes. Yes. You ask for it? Yes. He's in agreement. What is the challenge that people have, and this is where they won't get there, and that's why I'm going to have to come back and do a second message. Everything goes into their account, their spiritual account. It's like you, when you go to certain jobs, they give you an email, and it's automatic. It's an automatic email. It comes with a job. They give you other things, like they give you ID and stuff like that. It's automatic. Well, when we come to Christ, he gave us an account, a spiritual account. And so he just transferred in the account for you. Just like you have a bank and you open an account with them, and then you might borrow $1,000, because I remember the first time I did this. I had an account with the people and I wanted to borrow some money. I'm going to pay somebody, and she The lady said to me, okay, we approve this now. Where do you want me to put this in your checking or your savings? I wanted cash. But my point is that she just automatically, I'm not talking, it just dawned on me. Well, okay, I said, all right, put it in the checking. But my point is this, it just automatically go in there. Well, this is what I'm saying now. You see, all his promises are yes and amen, and it goes into that spiritual bank account. I was right here preaching this stuff the very first time when I heard in my spirit, use the phrase, the spiritual bank of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And from then on, you hear me talk about the bank of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's it, because it's a spiritual bank account. And he put it, all his promises are yes and amen. And the moment you pray, it goes in there. The challenge is people don't understand, you know, to get it out of that bank, you need faith. The key to get it out, the lock, and to lock it so you can get it, is faith. And you need now to be able to exercise faith. And we're going to talk more about that in another message, but I want you to understand, all his promises are yes and amen. Don't tell me it is not the will of God for you to prosper. It is not the will of God for you to get rid of this disease and so on. I don't believe that. Diseases and things like that are from the devil. He's there trying to strangle you or oppress you, however he does it. But Jesus went around giving us an example. The Bible records he went about healing all manner of sickness and disease, and you know, all people who were oppressed in whatever way. And I just mentioned some of the things that we need to do to make sure that we can avoid, you know, the obstruction that the enemy just posed so easily before us. As he, what does the writer say? The sin, we must avoid the sin that so easily beset us. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to go ahead and just encourage you to continue to walk with the Lord, to receive from him. Look into the scriptures. We're going to talk about some next week. I tell you what, I'll just touch on that next week with regards to some things that you can do in order to make it even a little easier for you to receive. You'll be surprised. One of them is to follow the wave of the Spirit. And we'll talk more about that to you when I explain, and you know, how it actually works. And you're going to find that you're going to start to get more by just praying, just actually just praying on a regular basis, and you start to see more manifestation just like that. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I think I've gone on long enough. I just want to go ahead and pause right here, and we'll continue next time. Thank you so much.